It says, what are the characteristics of God's teachers, which is the same as saying, what is the characteristics of a demonstrator of love?
You're going to demonstrate some cool stuff. What kind of characteristics do you have?
You're going to demonstrate peace. What are the characteristics of God's teachers? It's the same as what is the characteristics of love's teachers? And it says the surface traits of God's teachers are not at all alike. So we look around the room, the way we look on the surface certainly doesn't look at all alike. So far, so good. It says we don't look alike to the body's eyes, and we come from vastly different backgrounds. So far, we look like that too. It says our experiences in the world vary greatly. Our superficial personalities are quite distinct. He says, nor at the beginning stages of our functioning as teachers of God, which are demonstrators of love, have we as yet acquired the deeper characteristics that will establish us as what we are. That's really kind of funny if you think about it. It's like basically you're going to look different, you're going to have different experiences, but if you're going to be a demonstrator of love at the very beginning, you're probably not good at it. Okay. So far, are we kind of still on the same track? So far, I'm included in this, right? What about you? Right? Then it says, and one of the things I've noticed in sharing the course for over 25 years is that people have a tendency to come and read the characteristics or read the course and see what they're going to one day potentially be expressing, and then beat themselves up because they can't do it right now. You know, it's just like going to flight school, and the instructor comes in, and then you beat yourself up because you can't immediately get out in the jet and fly off when you know you're there to learn. So you don't feel bad because you can't fly the plane on the first day of class, but for some reason, with the Course in Miracles, people constantly beat themselves up because they can't do what the purpose of the course is to get you to the point that you can do. So it's almost like they come in expecting already to be able to do it. And as soon as they see that they don't have these characteristics of unconditional love, then their ego starts to beat them up about maybe they lost their temper this morning, or maybe they got upset about something, and they're beating themselves up. It says, no, at the beginning, we don't have the deeper characteristics that express what we're going to ultimately express. So give yourselves a break. He says God gives special gifts to God's teachers because we have a special role in God's plan for atonement. And one definition of the atonement is the correction of error or the undoing of fear. So each one of us has a special plan or special role in the undoing of fear. Our specialness is, of course, only temporary. So temporarily, it does look like we're different. Okay, which is what the Course in Miracles definition of special is, just different. Special is different. So a special relationship is a different relationship, which means it's a relationship where the kind of love that you're expressing with each other is not the kind of love that God expresses to us. It's a love that's different from the love of God. One of the things that people really get excited about is the idea that the Creator loves everybody as much as it loves me, right? But y'all know that's not the way we do it. Okay, let's just be straight up. You know we don't do that. We don't love everybody the same. As a matter of fact, we get mad when people love somebody else like they love us. not only do we don't like it, we get upset about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Course is saying that's special. Mm-hmm. It's different. It's real special. You know, so I'm just saying that, and people, again, they get upset about that, but sometimes it's like, I'm glad that my Creator loves better than people do. I really am. So the Course then says, our specialness is, of course, is only temporary. It's set in time as a means of leading us out of time. These special gifts, born in the holy relationship toward which the teaching-learning situation is geared, becomes characteristic of all teachers of God who have advanced in their own learning. In this respect, we are all alike. So we're going to develop special gifts that are going to be born in our healing relationships with each other. A healing relationship is a holy relationship, and a holy relationship is just a teaching-learning situation. So a holy relationship is just a teaching-learning situation. What I really love to have done over the years is just really has learned a lot of the definitions for these terms, because A Course in Miracles has its own definition for 99% of everything in the book. So usually the confusion comes from a person taking their past learnings and then projecting it on the course and then freaking themselves out. You know, a holy relationship, well, that's just a relationship where you're teaching and learning. It's a relationship, it's a teaching learning situation. So if you're in a relationship with somebody, that's exactly what it is.
Huh.
It's a teaching learning situation. And he says, now in a teaching learning situation, we're going to develop special gifts. You know, and the Course says that as we have advanced in our learning, we're going to develop these gifts. So in this respect, we all alike, that we're going to actually advance and we are going to develop some really cool gifts. So all the differences among us are temporary. So in this experience, we temporarily look like we're different. I look like I'm Earl Purdy Black Guy, and I pull it off pretty good. I've had no one call me anything else, and nobody say, you look pretty Asian or nothing. I pretty much pull that off, okay? Okay. So it's funny when I see people trying to be different and trying to be special. To me, it's kind of redundant. You already are different. It's already done. You already are special. You already are unique. You don't have to strive for that anymore. What the Course is saying to me is that that uniqueness that you have is your special way of allowing the love and the creativity and the truth to come into this world. You have your own unique way of bringing this truth into the world, you know. And so you can't compare yourself to anybody else, because there is no competition. There is no such thing as competition if you're being yourself. It's just competition if you're trying to be somebody else. You know, no problem. You see what I mean? There's no competition if you're being yourself. Competition is an illusion. There's no competition if you're being yourself. Nobody else can do Earl Purdy better than me. It's not possible. It just ain't going to happen. You know what I mean? So nobody's going to do you better than you. So if you do... I mean, maybe so. I don't know. I have to qualify that a little bit. That was Carol's thought. I picked it up.
That's right.
That's one mind. Okay. Okay. So now the Course is going to describe what the characteristics are going to be that we're going to have one day, so that we'll know what we're striving for. Any questions or comments about the first two paragraphs? Let me pass this around if you haven't had a chance to get on the mailing list. I appreciate it if you'd be on, put your name and email or whatever. Anybody? Any thoughts about that? Anybody? Ready to say that?
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Yeah.
When we have a question about what a word means, how can we find out what this text is?
Well, there are actually some concordances that you can buy.
Okay.
Yeah, that actually have people that have already done that, gone through the
right.
book and looked up all that stuff for you. Because I'm one of these people that, yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah.
The teacher's manual itself, the third book, it has a lot of the clarifications of a lot of the terms that the Course uses.
Okay.
Okay, and... yeah, the same thing with me. It's like my greatest joy with the Course is the interpretations and the definitions. So if I substitute something in the book, I use something that I've seen in the book that it uses as a definition for that. But I like to try to make the Course more conversational, because I feel like people get caught up in the language a lot of times and they just miss what's being said. So a lot of times you hear me talk in a real conversational way, so that we can get the point, you know. Anybody else? I saw another hand.
No, I was just making an observation.
Okay, yeah, observations are good.
There is no competition one with the other.
Mm-hmm.
And we all are, have that uniqueness. But it struck me what you're saying, that it's the sameness of that uniqueness, because that uniqueness comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us is unique, and we all share that manifestation of that truth, of that love, that being of God.
And that's our special gift. Yeah, that's what he said. Like, God gives special gifts to his teacher because we have a special role. Mm-hmm.
I just appreciate the, because I get caught up in the wordy thing. It's just, I just want to affirm too that it feels very clear the way you're sharing it. It's helping me to digest it. And I think for me it's best to to just listen a lot because I'm new at this, and to, you know, not interpret it myself so much, because I do have a lot of my own definitions and stuff. So just what you were saying was right on for me. I guess I wanted to say that.
Jesus Christ. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. You don't know how much easier it makes. It's like really, I've been obsessed with this book since 1980. That's when I got into it. And I've been teaching it, you know, full time in the world. That's what I do. That's all I do is teach a course for almost 20 years. And I would like to save people time, even though everybody get a chance to study on their own, and I encourage it. I don't really think the power that happens really until you really do get into it. But on the other hand, why reinvent the wheel? You know what I'm saying? If I can say something to you that will save you a lot of time, then, you know, then take advantage of it. That's like if you have some gift that I don't have, you can save me time. But there's something about the course, I don't know what it is about it sometimes, where people will walk in and they can be brand new and they'll think that means they know as much as I do about the course. Or else I'm saying we're unequal, or else there's some type of a hierarchy going on. And that's not true at all. It's just that I put more time into it. And so if you've never read the book and I have, it's no way you know more about the book than I do. It's just crazy to think that you would. But don't you think? In anything, if I don't know how to drive a car, you know how to drive a car. Wouldn't that be crazy for me to think I could drive a car as good as you? But doggone it, you can save me a lot of time learning how to drive a car if you already know how to do it. And then you'll make your own decisions about it. So I look for you to come to your own conclusions about the course. But let's save a little time. That'd be great. Anybody else? Cool. Okay. Trust. Okay. Now, the Course says trust is the foundation on which your ability, I'm going to put it that way, your ability to fulfill your function rests. Now, your perception is the result of learning. So when you say perception, when you say you perceive someone, you're really saying you are seeing the result of your learning with someone. So whatever you look at, you're really just seeing the result of your learning. In fact, your perception is learning. Everything you see is what you learn to see. Right? Right? Everything you see is what you learn to see. So the Course then says that cause and effect are never separated. The effect that you're seeing is being caused by your own interpretation. The cause and effect are never different. They're the same. If I'm seeing fear, I got a fear thought. The cause and effect are the same. If I'm seeing love, I got a love thought. The cause and effect are the same. So many times people say, well, how can I tell what's going on in my mind? What you see is what's going on in your mind. There isn't, it's just that simple. If you see it, it's in your mind. But what we think is that you can see something and it's not in your mind, which is wild. Right? Because what you see is what you learned, and what you're describing it as is what you've learned. So everything that you see is what you learn. So now this is the good part. It says, a teacher of God has trust in the world. How do I get trust in the world? The Course says, because you've learned that the world isn't governed by the laws the world made up. The reason why I can walk out of here and not freak out with fear is that I know that there are some universal laws that I use in my life to transcend the laws of man. And I've spent the last 30 years of my life trying to learn and apply those laws. Those laws, in my experience, total supersede race, culture, age, all that kind of stuff. And so I can trust the world because I'm not trusting the world. I don't think that what's going on in the economy determines whether or not I get fed. You see what I'm saying? It's like, no, I'm sustained by the love of God. That's what's sustaining me. Now, it may take the form of me looking like I get a job or I'm expressing a skill or whatever, but I don't confuse the channel with the source. So the Course says that the teachers of God have trust in the world because they've learned that it's not governed by the world, the laws the world made up. The world is governed by a power that's in you, but not of you. There's this power that's in you that didn't come from you. He says that it is this power that's in you that didn't come from you that keeps all things safe. It is through this power that's in you that didn't come from you that you look on a forgiven world. When you have experienced the power of God or love or truth that is in you, it's impossible to trust your ego or your own petty strength again. The ones you really watch a miracle happen, a healing happen that's so cool, it's like the Course says, it's so good you know it didn't come from you. You know, have you ever had an experience like that? It's like your ego couldn't even get involved. It's like for that to have happened the way that happened, there's no way that you could go, my ego made that happen. Isn't that right? That's right. You know, yeah, yeah. So the Course says that once you do that, you don't trust your own petty strength again. Who would attempt to fly with the tiny wings of a sparrow when the mighty power of an eagle has been given him? And who would place their faith in the shabby offerings of their ego when the gifts of God are laid before them? What is it that induces us to make this shift to the power that's in us? And that's what we're going to talk about. What is it that gets me to go from trusting in my own little petty strength to trusting in the universal source?
Desperation.
What is that? Desperation, usually. I love desperate students. I love desperate students and students on the maintenance program. Those two are great. People who's going cool, they want to make sure it keeps going cool by continuing to focus on the thing that created everything going cool in the first place. Because usually sometimes in truth circles, it's almost like a quick fix thing. You know, I'm feeling bad, I take an aspirin and I feel better. And then as soon as I take the aspirin, I'm through. So I come to the truth when I'm desperate, and as soon as things get a little bit better, I drop it. Mm-hmm. So a person that's really conscious, they know that the best time in the world to focus on the truth is when things are going good.
Yep.
You know, and if you're really, really desperate, one of the cool thing about being really, really desperate is that you're going to apply the ideas. But if you're in that vast majority of people who are not really happy but not really ridiculously miserable, then you just what I call philosophize. You analyze. You know what I'm saying? It's like the only reason why you could be analyzing is that basically everything must be okay, or else you wouldn't even have time to analyze. You'd be too busy doing it. So if you got time enough to philosophize, you don't have no problems. Right?
Or sorry to tell you something.
Yeah, the truth is that people think that they have problems, but then they really have time to sit around and think about them. You know, but if it was like a real crisis happening, you have to act on that. You have to deal with that right now. So if I got time enough to really kind of go back and forth and philosophize, that's my way of knowing my life at some level must have spaces of peace in it. If I can leave here and go to the park and meditate, I don't care how far my bills are behind, I must have some peace, some space in my life. I got some maneuvering room. So I think most of us are like more blessed than we can even imagine and don't even know it. You know, and so I think the Course in Miracles is about removing the blocks to your awareness of how blessed you are already. And that's what I like about it. Because how could you not, like the Course says, how could you ever be dissatisfied if you're always asking for what you already have? And I went, you know, you're absolutely right. If I ask to recognize what I already have, but I don't realize it, then I can immediately have it. And I don't have to wait. So kind of, you know, be aware of the stuff that you want that always takes a lot of time. So it's a trick. All right. Okay, before I go into the development of trust, any questions or comments about those two paragraphs, about the beginning of trust?
How do you have the gift of desperation when things are going good? It's where it works in your life.
What'd you say? I don't quite understand the question.
Well, it's kind of a confusing question.
Good. I just try to understand it. I'm all right.
How do you get the gift of desperation? I mean, the gift that this will give you from desperation if you're not desperate at that time?
You become conscious enough to just choose to move yourself in a new direction without having to be forced into it. That's what I think is the difference between a being that's mature. Mature of being is not. The more conscious you become, the more you're going to go ahead on your own, do the things that are going to work best for you without anybody having to tell you to do it. So it's a choice, in other words. So in that case, if a person just wants to do nothing, they can do nothing until the day they die. But if they choose to, at any given moment, they can start applying the truth. And what's so great about the truth is that the truth always works now. That's what I like about anything that's really coming from the truth. If it's really coming from the truth, it works now. And since the only thing that the Course in Miracles is really about is peace of mind. And sometimes there's another thing people forget. It's not about how to manifest an SUV. Okay? It's not about how to get your soulmate. It's not about, you know, and I think people get disgusted with it when they think that because they come to a course class, they're going to get that raise they've been looking for at work. The Course is about giving you peace if you don't get the raise at work. That's what the course is about. So if you want peace, you study the course. If you want to manifest things, there are a ton of other books out there about manifestation. But the funny thing I notice is that when you give yourself peace, it seems like all the rest of the stuff starts to be added anyway. It's really weird to watch it happen. I like that. I like that everything added anyway kind of stuff. That's cool. Yeah. It's like, okay. Anybody else? Wednesday class, I love it when we discuss and talk, ask questions, feedback. So.
You think, girl, sometime we get to the point where we get desperate enough to say, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm ready to surrender.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Thank you. I don't know what I'm doing either. Okay. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
If we ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, if we sincerely ask it, we'll get it.
Right.
But there's hardly a time that we ever do anything with complete sincerity.
But remember, it said at the very beginning that in the beginning we don't have the deeper characteristics that will identify us with what we're going to be. So it's like it's okay that in the beginning we don't always have that commitment and that dedication and that all of that, you know. The Course says having tolerance for your weakness is how you keep your weakness from being an obstacle. Where most people do just the opposite. They try to be intolerant of their weakness. And so the Course says, no, you really need to be tolerant of your weakness, because how can you not succeed if only weakness stands in the way? If your only problem is your weakness, then how could you not succeed? He says, because weakness has no power to do anything. So weakness can't stop you. And people think weakness, I'm too weak to do that. No, I'm not motivated. That's what the problem is. I'm not motivated. I'm not too weak to do it. I'm not motivated to do it. And people get that confused. I don't have enough strength to stop doing this. No, you're not motivated enough. You'll stop it if you get motivated enough. Yeah. I guarantee you, whatever it is, you will stop. And when the right motivation hit you, and you know when that'll be? When, and I'm just saying stuff out of the book, when you see that it won't get you what you want. Yeah. That's when you stop. Got it? But I used to belong to the school of, if I did the wrong thing enough times, it turns right. Yeah, it's like if I do the thing that doesn't work 580 times, then the 580th time it will work. That's, you know what I'm saying? It's like people do the same thing that doesn't work over and over again. As if they do it long enough, it's going to change. Don't you see it all the time? You know, if you have a track record of always attracting the wrong person in a relationship, and you become attracted to the wrong person, and almost every time you've been attracted to somebody, it's the wrong person. The next time you're attracted to somebody, you would know they're the wrong person. You know, you would just stop right there and go, okay, that's the wrong person. But see, that takes a lot of consciousness to do that. If 20 out of 20 had been the wrong person, when you felt that feeling, you know the feeling, whatever that, everybody's got their own feeling. So you know what I'm talking about. You get that, okay, that's your And when you feel your based on your track record, you know pretty much that. So what do you do? And I said this over there. If you really, you know, running is good. The core says recognize misery and go the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, don't analyze it. Go the other way. So if you do come up on a situation like that and you can't resist it, then I always advise people, at the very least, have a conversation, talk, communicate, hear what how the person thinks. Because you're not having a relationship with that person's body ever. You're always having a relationship with that person's mind. That's who you're in a relationship with. Not their body, their mind. You know? And sometimes you'll be shocked. Or if it is just the body, then be honest with yourself about it just being the body. And don't try to make it something more than that. That's another error, right? Just be honest, you know. I don't care about your mind, like your buns. So, you know, whatever it is, you know. Like, of course, says we love special body parts. It's right there in the book. Special body parts that we, he said, that we use to act out our own special form of fear.
I have definition of form of fear because I have that quite often.
Yeah, I know that's right. My own special fear, whatever it is that turned me on, that's my special form of fear. Usually, because I don't know about you, but I have had a tendency in my life to feel like I had to pay for pleasure with pain. It's almost like that's what I got to pay for with. I had a good time, here comes some drama, right? Then I had a really good time, right after that, here comes some drama. It's like I had to pay for it with the conflict that I gave myself afterwards. And the Course is trying to move us away from that system of you have to pay for it with pain just because you dared to have a pleasure, you know. And so, anyway, we'll go to the next one here. Development of trust. Okay, here he goes. He says, first, if you're going to develop trust, you're going to go through a period of undoing. Undoing. Now, going through this period of undoing doesn't have to be painful, but people usually experience it as painful. Doesn't have to be, but people usually experience it as painful because it looks like things are being taken away, because it's rarely understood initially that their lack of value is being perceived. So when the Course says, how can the lack of value be perceived unless the perceiver is in a position where they must see things in a different light? So you start to see differently, and then all of a sudden your values start to shift, and since you're no longer valuing what you used to value, it looks like it's leaving, and you'll say it looks like things are being taken away, but the truth is you're just not into it. You're just not into it the way you used to. You don't value it the way you used to. And if you don't value something, it always leaves. That's a universal law. And if you don't value it, you obviously don't think you need it. Right? Think about it. If I valued it, I would think I needed it. I think it was important to me. If I don't value it, I don't think I need it. So the Course says usually when you start, like in relationships, if you stop valuing somebody, then it says it'll look like something took that away from you. Like usually it looks like somebody took something from you, you don't realize it, but subconsciously you didn't value it the way you used to. It's what it looked like something took it away. That's deep, isn't it? Because there's so many things in our lives that we think we really wanted, but somehow or another we lost it. But there is no such thing as loss in universal law. There is no such thing as losing. You can never lose. Your good can just change form, but you can't lose it. What it does is it takes better and better forms. But if you get addicted to an old form, then you'll be missing your good in its new form, even though it's right there. That's sort of like being in a relationship or a job that you hate, but it's one you used to like. You see what I'm saying? The content's gone, but you're addicted to the form. You got the form, and that love that you used to get through that form, that love is now trying to come to you through another form that would allow that love to expand and grow, but you might be addicted to the old form. And so you're trying to beat a dead dog and get the old form to start back to cranking up the way it used to. Anybody familiar with that one?
Always.
Okay. So it says... you are not yet at a point at which you can make the shift entirely internally. So if you can't change completely on the inside, now this is an important point. If you can't make the change on the inside, the plan will sometimes call for changes in what seem to be the external circumstances. So if I can't make the shift on the inside, then there'll be things that happen on the outside that'll make me make the change on the inside. I'll say it again. See, I love the Course. It's like all those questions I've asked myself all my life, it answers them, but I don't like it. You know what I'm saying? So I want to go somewhere else. It's like, okay, you gave me some answers, but I didn't particularly care for that. But I'll say it again. If you're not ready to make the shift on the inside, then the plan will sometimes call for changes in the external level. And he says, every change you go through externally is always helpful. Hear that again? Mm-hmm. Every external change you go through is helpful. When you learn that much, he says, then you're ready to go to the next stage. Mm-hmm. So you don't go to the second stage until you bless everything that's happened in your mind. It doesn't mean you have to feel it. Don't get me wrong. Don't mean that you have to necessarily feel like every external thing that you've gone through was helpful. See, your feelings don't have nothing to do with the truth of that. So don't get so. And I used to feel that unless my feelings went, oh, that was good, then all of a sudden that wasn't a good change because I didn't feel good. And that's why I admire people to come to the Course in Miracles class. It's not a feel good class. And for people who just want to feel good all the time, they don't last very long in it. Because if you're really hearing some hardcore truth, it's disorienting. That's how you know you're really hearing something different. It shakes you up. Something that you just don't have any resistance to whatsoever, you pretty much already believe it anyway. It's okay to reinforce yourself, but you may not really be challenging yourself to another level. But a lot of it has to do with remembering this. See, the Course says this is a course in remembering. Because, see, I need to remember the next time I'm freaking out because something is happening on the outside that is upsetting me, that change is helpful. I need to remember that. So right now, do you have some changes you need to bless as helpful? Anybody in the room got a few things up right now that need to bless as helpful? Even though it doesn't necessarily, y'all got that about it not necessarily feeling good, but it still could be helpful, like taking a shot. You know, nobody particularly wants to take a shot, but they know it's helping them. Same thing. There's going to be some things in your life that don't necessarily feel good, but they're definitely helping you. All right.
So things on the external, things that are...
Mm-hmm. It says it right here. The plan will sometimes call for the changes in what seem to be external circumstances that when you can't make the shift entirely mm-hmm. internally, and when you can accept that the changes that you're going through mm-hmm. are for your own best interest, then you're ready to go to the next stage of developing trust. Because this whole thing is about how do I develop trust in the power that's in me, but not of me, mm-hmm. that can bring the love and the truth and the peace that I want in this world that is insane. To me, that's a worthwhile goal. You know what I mean? That's why I'm so committed. You know, it's like, okay, how can I be safe in an insane world? Well, you have to realize you're not ruled by the rules that's insane in the insane world. And you have to stop obeying. One of my favorite lines in this book says, you know, if those who don't obey the ego can't hurt. Those who don't obey the world don't suffer the pains that people in the world go through because they're not going to sit in front of television and then let somebody else dictate to them standards of beauty that they're supposed to try to live up to that has absolutely nothing to do with them. See, that's the world. So all of a sudden you're having all kinds of and I'm not against plastic surgery or anything like that. Just, you know, I mean, you do whatever you want to do with your body. It's your body, you know what I'm saying? But the point that I'm making is that are you doing that because you want to do it, or are you doing it because you're trying to meet some kind of external criteria that somebody else has given you so that they can sell a product? So, you know what I'm saying? So while you tripping, they are in Hawaii. Okay, so while you putting yourself down and you got bandages all over you, there, you know what I'm saying? So if you're gonna do it because you want to do it, and because it's something that from within you want to do, more so than because somebody on the outside is dictating to you what should be your standard of beauty. You know what I'm saying? Like you take black folk, which I'm familiar with. A lot of black people say it's naturally kinky. You know what I'm saying? But if we're going to do another standard of beauty, then we got to try to straighten it. And that's okay if you do, because it's your body. But you see what I'm saying? But I can't feel like something's wrong with me because I got kinky hair. You know, I'm cool. So it's the same thing that I'm saying. It's when you lose sight of what's real that the struggle and the pain start. That's how the Course says you can always tell when you're really getting off base. Because of the pain that you feel. There's a difference between experiencing pain from getting a shot because you know you're being healed and going through pain because you know you're just not following your guidance. Mm-hmm. It's two different kinds of pain. Your way of looking at it is totally different. Okay? Because your natural environment is an environment that there's no struggle, it's an environment that you function well, it's an environment that you feel peace in, it's an environment that you feel loved in. The Course says if you're not in an environment like that, you're not in your natural environment. And it's natural to be miserable. Like people feel bad about being miserable if they're in a situation that's not their natural environment. But if you're not in your natural environment, it's normal to feel miserable. So that's as good as you feel miserable because you probably try to change it. But if you talk yourself into liking it, even though you hated it, then what you're doing is increasing your fear. because you're behaving as you think you should without really wanting to. You're trying to make yourself like something that you don't really like. So the Course says that creates conflict and fear, and it actually draws more fear into your life. The more you do things that you don't want to do, the more fear you create.
Yeah, no, it's a trip, isn't it?
Yeah, no, all of a sudden you see, oh my God, I know, I saw that aha in your face. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, but that's okay. Remember, at the very beginning, we don't have the characteristics yet. At the very beginning, we're not at the point that we only do what we love to do. So don't beat yourself up because we find out that you are behaving the way you think you should without really wanting to. It's okay. It's okay. We're at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. You said the more, you know, we do things that we don't want to do, mm-hmm. we create more fear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about things, for example, like I hate flying.
Mm-hmm. Well, say obviously you're creating fear around that.
So if I keep going, is that brings more fear?
Well, yeah. If you keep on flying without changing your mind about flying, without learning new ways of looking at flight, okay. without giving yourself new interpretations of flying, okay. Yeah. If you don't do the mental work,
okay,
then
without, okay.
Okay. Okay. Great. I love questions because I'm convinced that the questions that anyone asks is the question that most of the people in the room are wondering about. Maybe a different form, but basically the same thing.
So again, it's the choice, the ego, to buy into the cultural ego,
mm-hmm.
or to, that's what I hear, is there's a choice, a conscious choice of, you know, do I want to stay asleep and buy someone else's dream on TV?
Check it out.
Or, you know, mm-hmm. or do I want to wake up and tune into my own agenda, mm-hmm. or a higher power agenda, or what have you.
And what's so cool about it, the Course talks about how you go from what you call the unhappy dream to the happy dream. Then you wake up. And which is the way most people want it, that I found. They don't want to go from misery to whatever is outside the world. They want to go from misery to having a good time here, going to Disneyland or something. Then maybe they'll entertain enlightenment, but not before I go to Paris. You know, I could be in an environment that's totally safe, absolutely 100% loving, totally free, could never be hurt or harmed in any way, but I'm not going to make that my priority because I really want to go to Jamaica. I'm just being real. There's a pair of shoes at the mall I gotta have before I go home to God. You know what I'm saying? That's our value system, and it's not bad, but that's us. Okay. Yeah. So if I'm going to stay in the same insane world, so I can get these shoes, you know what I'm saying? Then I need to know how to look at the insane world while I'm in there, so that I can get the shoes safely. You know, I need to know what I need to change within myself to safely be here. Right. So it's not about running away from the world. It's like he's saying, it's about learning how to trust the power that's in you, but not of you. So it's not about running away. It's really about being so happy here that you show people that it's possible to be happy here. People need to see somebody that's happy. And really, I love to see happy people. Y'all happy about something? Please let me know. You know, I was glad to get the email you sent me about the trip you're going to make to Africa. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm glad to see anybody happy for any reason. Because happy people don't mug people. They don't. They really don't. And happy people don't dwell on the past. You know, they don't. They're too big. Their life is too full right now to be dwelling on what didn't go right when they were a kid. So if you got a lot of time to think about your past, you're not really enjoying your life now. That's why you can think about the old boyfriend, the old situation, the way it was when you was in high school and you was the prom queen. You know what I'm saying? Like, but today you could be enjoying even more because you're more conscious now than you were when you were in high school. Okay. Is that everybody cool? Are you all right? You with me?
I'm with you.
Okay.
We're here.
Yeah. Okay, well, he talks about the next stage you're going to go through. The first stage, I'll say it again, is a period of undoing. It doesn't have to hurt us, but we usually experience it that way because it looks like things are being taken away, but they're not really being taken away. We're just seeing their lack of value. Or we are refusing to change internally, and so we're having some external things happening to get us to change. And in that case, we're supposed to say, this is helpful, this is helpful. This is helpful. Then I'm ready to go to the next level. I don't have to feel it's helpful. I don't even have to see how it's helpful, because then that'll slow me down.
Okay, I have another question.
Okay.
You say that it makes sense to me on an academic level, what you're saying. But in terms of, like, loss of a person who's close to you,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I can understand that, yes, you don't need that person because you just need people and you need God, and I believe and understand that. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, does that say that we were wrong for valuing that person, or that, you know, we valued that person too much, or that... Do you see what I'm saying?
It's not saying that you're wrong for valuing that person. It's just saying that this might be deep to say this, but the truth is, right now, you no longer need that person, which has nothing to do with you loving them. And I love my mama dearly. My mama, you know, went home 12 years ago, right? But for whatever reason, I no longer needed my mother here.
Okay.
But I still love my mother, and I think about my mother.
But it has nothing to do with the value part.
No, it has nothing to do with not in the sense that you're talking about. Like,
okay.
Somehow you didn't value your mama, so your mama, you know, so now
well,
my mama's gone.
Know
you know. So. Yeah, no, I'm glad. Again, I like it when you say stuff like that, because I need to hear that, because I don't think about it that way, you know, because of how long I've been into it. That's why the questions help me. And so when people ask me a question, it helps me stay, really be helpful to them. You know, because when I think about the course, it's basically talking about us getting in touch with the power that's in us and not of us. And so the reason why I lost sight of my power is because I didn't value my power. So it looks like my power has been taken away.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the course is always much more, think of the course in terms of being content-oriented or thought-oriented, more so than physical-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of people, it's about changing your perception so that you have such peace of mind that you can hear the voice for God that's in you. And then that voice will tell you everything you need to know all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I studied the course, because I want my guidance. I want to get in touch with home base. I'm sick of trying to figure this out. You know, I'm tired of making up what I want, then spending all of my time trying to pursue it, and then trying to make everybody else help me get it, and then I get mad if they don't do their part, then I have to forgive them for not taking part in the plan I didn't even ask them if they want to be a part of. You know, we do it all the time. Most grievances is like a script didn't get fulfilled. And that's why I'm mad at you. You weren't there. You know. So.
What if you feel like it's all like you need a little pushing, you know, to get you to where you think you should be?
That's the external change
that's
coming.
But it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's all like internal.
It's internal. If you could go, I could go ahead and consciously choose to love and to be peaceful, and then I wouldn't have to have physical circumstances that get me to the point that I learn to choose for peace. I could consciously decide to be peaceful and to practice the truth, and not have to have catastrophes happen in my life that would make me go. Right, it's like I don't need to lose all my material possessions in order for me to realize material possessions are not where happiness is located. I could consciously decide that my happiness comes from within, and therefore I wouldn't have to have an external situation that resulted in loss. So I get that my happiness was not in the thing.
No,
that's cool. It's the course calls it an idol. The course calls an idol anything that you put before your peace of mind. So anything you put before your peace of mind is an idol.
Okay.
And so idols always fail you because they're not where your peace is located. So every time you put your faith in something outside of yourself, you've set up a situation where you have to appear to lose it at some point. Simply because the universe isn't going to help you sustain the illusion that your happiness is in something outside of yourself. So you have to keep on trying to do everything you can. That's how you can tell it's an idol. Because if it's an idol, whether it's a relationship or money or anything, you are spending all your time trying to make sure you can keep it. It's a lot of work. If you're in a natural relationship, it's not any work to be together. if you're in your natural job, it's not miserable for you to get up in the morning to go there. It's the idols that you have to work so hard to take care of. Because the universe is not going to help you think your happiness is outside of yourself. So if I was to go, you know, my happiness really comes from within. My happiness really comes from me. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Then I can enjoy my house, my car, my kids, my clothes, my shoes, my trips, my everything. Because I know those things are not what's causing my happiness. So it's safe for me to play with. But the person who thinks their value is caught up in those things, they are setting themselves up to one day get the lesson that it's not. And how can you get the lesson that it's not? Well, you appear to go through something that makes those things a challenge for you. The course is so sane and logical and reasonable that you just have to decide you're not going to do it. But you can't really admit that you don't know what it's saying.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So how do you keep it from being a problem? You go, at the very beginning, I don't have the characteristics that I'm going to have one day. So I'm going to be gentle with myself because I haven't developed these higher qualities yet. So I'm not going to beat myself up for not being as loving as I think I should be. Then you won't call punishment onto yourself because you feel guilty because you think you're not being loving enough. Because when you feel guilty, you call punishment to yourself. So if I go, okay, I'm not really loving, but I'm really trying to let go of all the blocks to recognizing that I am. If you can deal with a person that doesn't know how to love completely all the time, I'm your man.
Thanks for bringing it back to square one.
Yeah, absolutely. I need to bring it back to square one. That's what I'm doing in my own personal life right now. I'm bringing everything back to square one at another level. And it's where if you bring it back to square, it's like a spiral. You bring it back, but it's going like that. And it gets so simple. What's so funny about it? It gets simpler and simpler and simpler. So you begin to get vision. And the Course says vision is when you can see the consequence of your action before it happens. Okay, so you will know that's the wrong person. All right, you will absolutely know exactly how the relationship is going to turn out before you even start it. And you still might go ahead and do it. But you can't deny that you had the vision. So you know what will happen? You'll probably enjoy it. Because you already knew from the beginning how it was going to turn out. You see what I mean? So being conscious means, the Course says, if you're a conscious being, you know the result of your action in terms of the content, not in terms of the form. You might not know what the form is going to look like, but you definitely know what the content is going to look like. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that kind of dangerous to walk around thinking that we know what's going to happen and that we know something?
You think in physical form of what's going to happen. For instance, what I mean by knowing the results was what's going to happen. Remember, we're talking about perception and we're talking about peace, right? Mm-hmm. So if I see you and I make the decision that I want to get from you, I want to attack you, I want to manipulate you, I'm not going to see you as one with me, or let's say I'm talking to you and you say to me, you don't believe in thought being creative, you think all this kind of these kind of beliefs are crazy, then if I choose to enter a relationship with you, I already know before I choose to enter that relationship probably what the result's going to be. You got it? Thank you. Thank you for your question. So remember, I keep talking about conscious, because now you know. See, now we know. So we can't pretend we don't know. But you can go ahead and assume responsibility for your choice. And if you assume responsibility, you probably won't be hurt. You know what I'm saying? If I know I'm falling in love with a mental patient, okay, I just happen to go to the mental hospital and she was really cute. You know what I'm saying? Well, I already know pretty much how this is going to turn out
right before
I even start. So if I choose to do it, I can take responsibility. I won't be mad at her for acting crazy because I knew she was crazy to begin with. Mm-hmm. See, that's what we don't do. Thank you. It's conscious awareness. One of the challenges that people do on the truth path is they come to a class or they study on their own, but they think because they just got through studying it that the people around them studied it. It's like they almost expect everybody around them to act like they just studied the book because they did. So then they go to their mama's house that evening, and they think because they studied the course that their mama's going to act different. And if their mama don't act different, then the course don't work. Yeah, you follow me on that? People do that all the time. It's like, I was here for a lunch hour, and I'm going back to work, but they're just as crazy as they were when I left work, right? So the man says, well, this stuff doesn't work. And it's now, you're missing it. You're missing the point. You got new interpretations of how to deal with work. You were supposed to go back to work and use your new knowledge on the crazy people at work. Not expect the crazy people at work to all of a sudden act cool. But here's the weird thing. Here's the next level of weirdness. If you actually applied, a lot of times, miraculously, it will look like they've changed. It will. It's so weird. It's like if you apply it consistently, it will sometimes look like the person has changed.
Because
your perception is totally different. Mm-hmm. And the reason why you know that it's your perception that's creating your relationship with somebody is very simple to tell. That same person could be very easy to get along with for somebody else. That same person could be expressing all kinds of joy and peace with somebody else. So it's obvious that they're capable of peace and joy because you'll see them. But for some reason, you and that person have some lesson to learn that is around somebody changing their perception. And it probably would be easy if it was you. Right? Okay, I'm going to stop right here because it's time to stop. Okay, so I appreciate that. We're going to go through this section because development of trust is an out-of-sight section. I mean, it's like the stages to getting in touch with the power within you. And you can't hear it too much. You cannot hear it too much. It's about being able to remember. So I'm going to do the love offering. And thank you for sharing. And you know, just look within and ask yourself what value the class is to you within the means that you have. And I trust that that's what you give and that's what you share, because all that you give is given to yourself. And I appreciate it. I appreciate your generosity and so does Unity Temple. Divine love through us blesses and multiplies all that we have, all that we give, and all that we receive. So be it. Thank you, brother. Tomorrow night at 7:00 is the next life change and most of the people in my class is changed. And the ones that don't, we're obviously still in the same order of learning together right now. It doesn't mean they're retarded. It just means we're still at some new level together. Thank you. It means, oh my God, we're in the same place. You know what I'm saying? And all we have to do is talk to each other and we'll see it. That's what's so funny, because I feel like that the people who are coming now are people who also have really made that decision that they've reached their limit in some area or they want the maintenance program. It's like one of the two or the other. It's like, this is it. I've done it. I've tried it the old way enough. I got to do it differently now. And then the other ones are, you know, it's going pretty cool. I think I'd like to keep it going cool, so I want to remind myself of this all the time so that I won't lose track of it. When I go back out there and the veil drops down, and all of a sudden all I'm hearing is just the opposite of this. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, then this seems crazy. So another thing, if you're just getting started especially, don't try to explain it to people. Because you'll sound crazy even to yourself sometimes. Really, you'd be amazed. So we got 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and I want to share one thing. I want to do a quick review of what we said so far, and I can do about it and do it. Okay, all of us are different. We all have special gifts. Hallelujah. So it's okay. So the course is not anti your individualism. Other thing is, in the beginning, take it easy on yourself because you're just getting started. We, in the sense that we haven't fully developed the characteristics that we're going to have one day when we're totally loving. So it's okay to lose your temper 10 times today because your goal is to not lose your temper the way you used to, but you still may do it. The other thing to realize is that everything that you're seeing, the way that you interpret everything, is the result of your learning, and that you can trust the world, that you get in touch with the laws that are governing this that are beyond the laws of man, the power that's in you instead of what's going on out there in the world. Other thing is that when you first start developing trust, it'll look like some things might be taken away and they're not being taken away. They just no longer serve you anymore. And if you consciously decide to change on the inside, then it won't be necessary to go through so many external things. But if you are going through a lot of external stuff right now, blessed is helpful, even if you don't feel good about it, so you can go to the next stage. So you don't have to like it, but what you want to do, since you're going through it anyway, It's not like you're not going through it. So at the very least, what you should do is tell the truth about it. Because as soon as you tell the truth about it, then it's more of a healing. So what's the truth about whatever I'm going through on the external level right now? It's helpful. That's the, anything other than that is not the truth about it. And you can say, I don't like it, but it's helpful. It's making me afraid, but it's helpful. And then you could have some external things that are happening that's really cool. That's also helping you make the internal shift. So when I say external circumstances, the mind, the ego will tell you to think horrible, horrible, horrible changes. But I'm saying the external could be dreams coming true, things you've always wanted to happen, relationships you've ever always dreamed of coming into your life that would help you make the internal shift because you feel so loved. All right? Okay, I'll see you next time. And all my classes, for those who don't know, thank you. I appreciate that. All my classes are available. I record them, and then they're $5 prepaid, and you sign your name and the date of the class, and then I make a CD, and I bring it back to the next class so you can pick it up if you want to get one. That's the list over here. If you ever want to listen to this again, they're real car friendly.